The headline over an op-ed piece in today's New York Times reads, "Remember Rwanda, but take action in Sudan." It's written by Samantha Power. She's written extensively in the past about Rwanda and about American inaction in the face of genocide. And she now calls the U.S. and its allies bystanders to slaughter in Sudan, no more prepared to prevent genocide, she writes, than they were a decade ago. Samantha Power joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Ms. Power, you're writing about ethnic slaughter in Western Sudan, and can you explain who exactly is fighting whom there?
Well, it's a confusing conflict, and it's a confusing case of ethnic slaughter because it is actually Muslim-on-Muslim violence. Arab Muslims teaming up with the government in Khartoum, mainly Arab herdsmen who ride around on horseback, and there are about 20,000 of them who've been armed by the Khartoum government, and they get backing from the Air Force, so villages are being strafed. The victims are people who are known as black Muslims, so they're not Arab, but often their skin is actually lighter than those who are targeting them. But it's basically Arab Muslims taking aim at what they consider African Muslims.
You mentioned it's confusing, made more confusing, I suppose, because there's a long-standing, ongoing civil war in Sudan that's a different war, that's North versus South, Christian versus Muslim.
Yeah, and that has complicated it. It's also complicated matters because the Bush administration impressively has taken real leadership on the North-South conflict and has been spearheading a peace process that seemed on the verge of paying dividends.
The war that you're describing in your piece today, what is the toll? What are the numbers of dead and displaced?
Really, really hard to know, as is true with most cases of ethnic cleansing, ethnic slaughter, and even genocide right at the start. One of the things that genocidal governments or people intent on committing ethnic slaughter do is they keep journalists and humanitarian aid workers out. And that is the first very, very bad sign that something awful is underway. Estimates range from between 30,000 and 100,000 of people killed already. And we're talking somewhere close to 1 million African Muslims on the run.
The UN Emergency Relief Coordinator last week called this campaign in Darfur ethnic cleansing. He used the term scorched earth policy, but he stopped short of calling it genocide. And I wonder if it matters. Do you think it is genocide? And if it isn't, does it matter?
Well, as always, it's very hard to know without being able to get access. And that's why I think it's a bit of a red herring, that whole question. I mean, once we're debating, is it ethnic cleansing with 30,000 dead or maybe 100,000 dead, or does it rise to the level of genocide? Once we're even asking that question, we're already well past the point where a forceful international response is warranted. So no, I don't actually think it matters. The signs are not good. I mean, it looks as though the Darfur black Muslim population will be destroyed and forced to live elsewhere.
You're calling for U.S. engagement to stop this killing. What realistically do you think the United States should do?
Well, President Bush did something important last week, which is that he called Sudanese President Bashir on the telephone and urged him to stop the killing. But I don't think one phone call is enough. It's one phone call more than President Clinton made during the Rwandan genocide. But this is something that has to be, I think, a daily drumbeat. Additionally, it will require U.S. leadership if U.N. peacekeepers are to be deployed in Darfur. Even if U.S. troops themselves aren't deployed because they are busy in Iraq and elsewhere, it will require the Bush administration actually going to the Security Council and using what remains of its clout, which is still greater than that of any other nation in the UN, and rallying troops from other countries, volunteering to pay for them, perhaps even volunteering to transport those troops, but crucially also getting the consent of the Khartoum government to place peacekeepers in the field.
I wonder, as you think about the lessons of Rwanda 10 years out from the massacre there, do you see signs that U.S. thinking has changed on engagement?
I think there's a recognition that a president will be remembered for being a bystander to genocide. But I'm hoping that the lesson of Rwanda is really, just because you're not going to go all of the way, just because you're not going to send your troops, doesn't mean that you should stand on the sidelines. There is still so much the United States uniquely has the power to do in international settings to generate, you know, the will and to fund the kinds of efforts that will be needed to protect people. But I'm not sure that lesson has been learned.
Samantha Power, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Samantha Power is author of the book A Problem from Hell, America and the Age of Genocide.